Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Well, don't look at your watch. Turn with us this morning to the book of Luke, chapter number 24. I've tried my best to pray about this and felt like God would have me to preach it this morning. And I was invited to preach on the radio broadcast this morning, so I went and felt like the Holy Spirit was telling me to go early, so I went early. And sure enough, when I got there, they just plugged me right in, and so for the next hour I preached this message. And I asked the Lord several times yesterday if he would have me preach it here, because I don't always, well, I never really know what he wants to do fully, and so I just want to trust him. And then we come into Sunday school this morning, and Travis teaches on this very passage, and so I feel confirmed at least in just obeying God. Now, I don't know your heart today, but I know this. There is a word for you in this. Somewhere in this passage, God is going to speak to your heart. Now, it's up to you to respond. I can't make you respond, and if I could, it wouldn't be right. But you need to respond. You need to acknowledge God in whatever in this he finds you, and we all need to be obedient. It's as Steve said already, we need to change, right? You do the same thing, you get no change, right? You see no different result if you're the same as you were. But the Word of God is supposed to change us. And so I desire your prayers. Covet them. Pray for me. Luke number 24, we'll begin at verse number 13. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, and ye walk as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? They said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. They drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in and to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and broke, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Father, we pray for your word in our hearts today. Speak as only you can. May the Holy Spirit find its mark in every breathing soul. May we all, Father, be responsive to this truth. May we hear it. May you speak clearly to us. We confess our fragility and our needs for you even now. Hear us, God, as but messengers. Speak clearly, God, that all might hear. We trust it as we pray it, believing in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. The day of resurrection had come and nobody understood it. Nobody knew what had happened. Mary Magdalene and the others were there early that morning, and what they found was that the stone had been rolled away and an angel was sitting on it. The guards that were put there, the keepers, were as dead men laying beside the open tomb. And there the angel appeared to them with a countenance as lightning, and in their terror they recognized that something had happened. The angel said, "Fear not, for I know whom seek ye. You're looking for Jesus, but he's not here. He is risen just like he said." Message number one. Message number one. The angel gave the message. And what I'd like to say to you this morning is that the message must be clear. You must hear the message and you must understand it. Now, they didn't understand truly what had taken place. We know that by their response and what happened afterwards. And different accounts, and yet what we find in the book of Luke is that the physician had made a purposeful attempt, and I believe by the Holy Spirit's direction, to find Cleopas and this other man, maybe both of them. I assume at least one of them still alive during the time that Luke would have been gathering this information. As he sought from them their witness, their testimony of what had happened that day, I believe that he inquired of them that Jesus had risen, and he wanted to hear what they had heard or what they had seen. Certainly, they had shared that testimony with many. And when Luke heard it, I doubt that he wasted any time when he went to them and said, "Tell me also this story." And we find then in the book of Luke the only record, other than Mark giving a couple of verses about these two. Other than that, we find Luke was the one that recorded it. You say, why in the world would the others not have shared it? But may I say to you today that God knows that need. And we have it here in the book of Luke, and quite extensive as well. We see just exactly what happened. You say, is it needful? And I want to suggest to you today that every word of God is needful. Everything that we find within the pages of this holy writ is purposeful. It is inspired of God, breathed of God, and it is important for you and I. I believe the word of God to you and I ought to be the very instruction that we desire most in this world. It's certainly the reproof. It's certainly the encouragement. It's certainly the refuge that we have day in and day out. And yet, as already been said, so many, so few actually open their Bibles and begin to glean from the pages of this book the wondrous truths that reform and change and help and encourage our souls. And here we find that these two fellows were going to be a part of that resurrection day. Mary and the other Marys received from the angel a word from God. And the angel said, "You go back and you tell the disciples." She went back and she told them. Peter and John, in disbelief, the Bible said they both ran to the sepulcher to see for themselves. John, outrunning Peter and getting to the door, he stopped and looked in. And Peter, he went right on in and saw there the grave clothes that were now useless. The grave clothes that had no body, they held no figure anymore. They were crumpled up on there, and the face cloth that had been on his face had been folded neatly and laid at the head purposefully that they might know that he was there and that he lived there on purpose. There was a message, you see, in the empty tomb. It's still the same message for you and I today, and it's clear that Jesus Christ is alive. He is not dead. He's not in a tomb somewhere in the Middle East, but Christ is risen. And he's risen for you. He's risen for you. I wonder how many of us today, like so many on that day, are still confused about what it's all about. The Bible said that message was clear. Peter and James walked away still in unbelief, still wondering. Even Mary, who had heard the voice of the angel, finds herself in the garden after that weeping. She went back to the tomb after Peter and John had left, and there she looked in. She wept still. And the Bible said that she saw an angel in the tomb. Now, of all things, here's the woman that saw another heavenly vision, and yet it was not consoling her. It wasn't what she longed for. She was looking for the body of Jesus. The Bible said that when she turned, she saw someone else in the garden. And supposing him to be the gardener, the Bible said she called out to him and she said, "Sir, if you've taken him somewhere, if you'll just let me know where he is, I'll go to him." And he spoke her name. He said, "Mary." And when she heard her own name spoken by the Master, she knew it was him. She knew it was him. Even after she had come back and told them of this wondrous thing, they still couldn't believe. The scripture tells us that they didn't believe. They were still gathered there, and yet hearing these wondrous things, they still didn't believe what had happened. Apparently, part of that group of people were these other two, one named Cleopas, the other we know not. And yet we find that they left the party that day and started making their way back home. Now, I had a question in my own mind. I don't have an answer for it. But I asked myself this question: how in the world could you leave Jerusalem? At a time like this, the body of Jesus was gone. They didn't know where he was. They had not yet conceived in their heart or realized truly that he had risen. And yet these two fellows are just going to go back home. I wonder today how many give up before they ever break through. How many of them give out, or they simply let up before they ever find the relief or the rescue or the refuge or the consolation that they need before Christ is there? But may I say to you today, there's still hope. Here we find these two fellows as they began to make their way home, as they began to make that 60 furlong journey back from Jerusalem into a far journey, certainly doable in an hour or two as they began to leave and walk back. And the Bible said that these two communed together and reasoned together. They were talking about all of the things that had gone on. It had blown their minds. They were bewildered. They were confused. They were disillusioned about all that had happened. May I say to you today, they don't seem to me much different than many of you. Many of us that live are confused about what's going on, confused about the shape the world is in. May I say to you today that our Heavenly Father has not let up any of his power. He's not relinquished any of his authority. And the Lord Jesus Christ is still King of Kings. Amen. For you and I to be confused today would, I believe, infer that we're listening more to the enemy than we are to God. The Bible said that God is not the author of confusion. And when there's confusion, I can assure you that the enemy is trying to do it. And I believe he has a lot of people confused today. There's certainly confusion in every part of our culture. There are people that simply can't figure one thing out from another. Now, whether that's a judgment of the apostasy of where we are in our given day or where it's not, here's what I can say. People live confused often. They live bewildered and in disillusion because they don't know the truth of God. They depend on somebody to spoon feed them the word of God, when all the while they have the power of God unto salvation in the presence of a book that he give us. I believe it contains for you and I the power of God. It's the word. The word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God that can discern the very thoughts and intents of our heart. There's nothing else like it in all of the world. Nothing else has the power of the word of God. You scoff or you look or you imagine in your mind he's on about something that couldn't be true. But may I say to you today, it raises the dead. Right. It causes the blind to see. Amen. It is the word of God that delivers, and it's just as effective today as it's ever been. Amen. I suggest to you that these were going through often what many of you go through, that many of us go through as the enemy tries to steal away the seed that is sown in our lives, tries to take from us the very word of God, which is to set us free. People all around us desperate for this truth. And yet we hide it under a bushel. We hide it and dim its light. We refuse to pray for boldness and to seek opportunity to share the good news, the message of Jesus Christ, because we say to ourselves, they won't listen. They won't hear. They won't understand. Who's to say whether a person will or won't understand? God didn't call us to save men. He called us to preach to men, to tell people that Christ is risen. And if Christ is risen, I assure you that's all that really matters. Amen. If Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that makes him God. And if he's God, then you're accountable to him as a creator. And if he's the creator, then you and I must submit to him and call upon him and seek him. And the world needs to know that Jesus Christ is alive. Amen. Is he alive in you today? Amen. Are you confused today about who Jesus is? May I say to you today, he is still the King. Amen. They were confused. Cleopas and the other. And as they moped back to Emmaus, it's the only way I can picture it. Heads down, mumbling to one another, complaining and moaning about all that had taken place and their and how they didn't understand what was going on and where's his body and what happened to Jesus and all of this stuff. I wonder to myself, it replays sometimes in my ear. As I talk to people, and it seems that the only thing they can say is negative. The only thing they seem within their heart to be able to share is something that is down or negative or something that is certainly not of God. Oh, how we ought to be careful. Because when confusion grips our minds and when the things of this world began to perplex us as we began to try to put ourselves into place and understand what God is doing. Let me tell you, that's a futile exercise, by the way. If you think for 1 minute that we could even grasp what God's doing at any moment of time, you're mistaken. Your mind, my finite mind, cannot contain it. It can't hold it. The psalmist was clear to say, who can know the mind of God? There's nothing within us that enables us to even briefly look into the mind of God in a way that we would understand it. So I say to you today, your confusion is unnecessary. It's unnecessary for several reasons. Let me quickly go on. Here was Cleopas and the other as they moped their way back home. God help us to quit moping. I'm not going to point at anybody, and I hope you don't point at me, but God help us to quit moping around. Let me be clear. It don't make any difference who the president is. Jesus Christ is still the King. He will always be the King. He is risen, Lord, and he is my Lord, and that makes me free. Free indeed. You can strip from me everything I have. You can take everything to the last nickel. It does not matter as long as Jesus is not dead in a tomb. Yeah. Amen. There may be times that we're confused, and they were. They were disillusioned at the events that had just occurred. And as they moped back to their own home, the Bible said they reasoned of themselves among They reasoned these things among themselves. And the Bible said in verse number 15, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Good news. Anybody heard? Good news. In our pitiful condition, looking around at the world, every time that we get down or disappointed, how many here is willing to say I get disappointed sometimes? How many's willing to be honest enough to say that I'm down on everything going on sometimes? How many of us would be willing to say I'm confused most of the time about what? Let me tell you something. Jesus cares about your condition. Now, he didn't have to come to these two old boys. Right? These cats were on their own. They struck out. They headed back home. They left the others. I don't know what you want to say, but Jesus loved them. And he cared that they were confused. He cared that they were bewildered. He cared that they didn't understand. And the Bible said he joined himself to them. Let me give you a promise the Lord's made to us. Where two or three would gather in his name, he said what? Did anybody believe that? Here you got two old boys, and who were they talking about?
Jesus. They were talking about Jesus. Now, they were confused about Jesus in a few different ways. But may I say to you today, they were talking about him. They were inquiring. They were desirous to know. And I'll tell you what the Lord did. He did what he promised he'd do. He went to them. Amen. How many know that's true? Amen. Boy, he comes to me. You ever been disillusioned and confused and wandering around moping and complaining, saying, I thought it would be a different way, and all of these things go, and the next thing you know, the Word of God gets opened up in front of you. It's illuminated to your heart. You end up repenting on your knees, and the Holy Spirit sets you free. Amen. That's the promise of my God, because he ain't a dead God. He's a live God. And he cares for my soul. He cares when I'm confused. He cares when I'm bewildered. He cares for me. And he comes to them, and the Bible said that their eyes were holding. They didn't recognize him. Last time they seen him, he was bleeding. Face ripped up, body ripped up in shreds. Hair matted down with blood from the crown of thorns. Face bruised and swollen. Eyes swelled shut. That's what they remembered. And yet this man walking beside him was just talking. Amen. He's just walking right along with them. They couldn't see him. They had their eyes on him, but they couldn't see him. Oh, to God that we could get our eyes open. Boy, that people could see that Christ is near. It'd change our outlook, wouldn't it? It'd make us more positive in the day that we live. It would renew the vigor in our heart concerning the message of the Lord Jesus Christ that is to be shared with a world that is lost without him. If we could just see Christ. If we could just see Christ. If we could see him as he really is. May I say to you today, all of the depictions of him on a cross, don't leave him there. This cross don't have nothing on it. Why? Because Jesus ain't dead. He may have died on the cross, but that was the instrument simply used. The other thing, he didn't keep a tomb either. You notice that we don't worship an open tomb. No, we worship a risen Savior. They couldn't see him. Their eyes were beholden that they should not know him. And he asked him a question. He said, what are you fellas talking about? Why in the world are you so sad? Now, if you ain't figured it out, I've been trying to get at the same thing for the last 10 minutes. What in the world are you talking about? Why is it making you sad? Let me tell you something. If the Word of God is about Jesus, if what you're trying to share, what you're trying to reason and commune and talk about is about the Lord Jesus Christ, let me ask you a question. Why in the world are you sad? What part of the Word of God makes you sad? What part of the Word of God would somehow create confusion in your mind? What is it about the Word of God that so perplexes you as to cause you to be sad? The Word of God, you see, I believe instills something not sad, but glad. I believe that we're supposed to be glad. What the Bible speaks it of is joy, unspeakable and full of glory. That's what I want. You say, where can I get me some of that? It's right here. You see, the problem is you're confused and bewildered, disillusioned. You've let everything else crowd your mind. And all you've ever needed was the Word. How you know? Because that's what Jesus is fixing to whip on them. Right? That's what Jesus is fixing to cure them of that disillusionment that they've got. Jesus is fixing to take care of the problem in the lives of these two precious souls that he loves. And you know how he does it? He does it with the Word. He said, what in the world are you guys talking about? Why are you so sad? Cleopas said to him, he said, why are you a stranger around here? He said, do you not know what things have just transpired in the last few days? Jesus looks at him and says, what things? What things? And Cleopas sets in to explain in their confusion. Verse number 19. And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which is a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Now, the first thing they didn't understand about Jesus was who he was. That's part of Christians' problem now, is they think he's some good prophet. That's what they were saying. Say, boy, if you'd just known him, he was a mighty prophet in word and deed. This man could do miracles. We knew he was of God. There was no question about their devotion to Jesus. There was no question about their commitment to Jesus. What I question is their understanding of Jesus. They didn't know who he was. They thought he was a prophet. Let me tell you something. He wasn't Isaiah. He wasn't Jeremiah. He wasn't Ezekiel. He wasn't any of them. No, he was greater than all of them. And he was risen. The first thing was they didn't know who Jesus was. I tell you, there's people in the body of Christ today that are still struggling to trying to figure out who Jesus is. Now, we've got more help than they had at the time. Now, I'll give them that right now. I'm not too hard on old Cleopas, but I'd be much more hard on you and I because we got the pages of a second book. Right? We got the writ of the New Testament, not just the old one to go on. And we have the Holy Spirit of God, which abides within us, empowering us to see Christ. Amen. That changes things. If there's anybody that oughtn't be confused about who Jesus is, the body of Christ ought not to be confused about Jesus. They were confused about who he was. Verse number 20. And how the chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which would have redeemed Israel. Now, number two, they were confused about why he was here. Most all of Israel was. They were expecting Jesus, including the disciples. They were expecting Jesus to set up an earthly kingdom on this earth. They were expecting Jesus to redeem Israel from their captivity under which they were slaves currently under the bondage and hand of mighty Rome. Here what we find is that they didn't understand what the purpose of Jesus Christ is. Let me tell you something. When we get right down to it and can discard the confusion of this world, what you'll find is that Jesus Christ came for one thing. The Apostle Paul said it like this. He said, this is an approved saying. And worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Amen. Of whom he said, I am chief. May I say to you today that if your confusion resides in why Jesus came, let me clear it up for you today through the word of God. Jesus came to the sick. He came to save the sinner. He came to deliver the bound by this world and set them free. You don't have to be confused. The word of God has been quite clear about the purpose and the mission of Jesus Christ. They were confused about that. Are you confused today? There's people confused all around us, but we've got the word. The Bible said here in verse number 21, and beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they had found not his body, they came saying that they had had vision of angels, seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. Certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said. But they saw him not. They were confused still. Thirdly, they were confused about what Jesus said he would do. Was he not clear to them? In multiple passages of the scripture, we hear Jesus telling them plainly, they will take my life. Or he said in another part, I will give my life. But he was clear, they're going to crucify me. He said, I will rise again. He told them that, you see. How many times have we been told? How many times have you sit and heard the word of God? And how many times have you walked out the door unchanged? How many times did your ears not hear it? Your eyes didn't see it? How many times did Jesus, the Lord, the Christ of all, speak into our heart and yet we left unmoved? What a wicked sin. What a wicked sin indifference is. How in the world a born-again believer can sit in the presence of a holy God and his word and it not move them, it not help them, it not encourage them and change them, it not create in them a fire shut up in their bones. The word of God is not diminished. It is not in a place where it no longer has effect. No, it's still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. Period. It always will be. Problem is we walk around confused about who Jesus is, what he came to do, and what happened in the end. Here they said, we don't know what happened. These women went there and the body was gone. They come back and tell us that two others go. They check it out. Sure enough, it's just like, and guess what? Right now, they're telling this to Jesus. I can't imagine he kept a straight face, but they're telling this to Jesus. And someone said he's alive. They're looking at him. You don't say, right? Jesus is looking right back at him. He's alive. How can we be so confused? All right, now, I'm going to let them pass because they don't have what I have, right? I've got this New Testament thing. I got a way bigger advantage than they had at the moment. Not only do I have the Word of God in writ, Holy Scriptures, capital S, I have the breathed Word of God in my hand. I have His Holy Spirit living in me. You can't tell me that I could garner some kind of pitiful excuse that I could walk around moping in confusion concerning Christ. No, I ought to be the happiest person alive. And when you see me, I ought to be slipping around saying, have you heard about him? Did you know that Jesus is alive? Did you know that he is the King? Did you know that he came for sinners? And did you know that you are one? Right? That Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Verse number 25. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe. All right, Jesus identified the problem. Two things. Let's grab them quick and move. Two things. Number one, we're foolish. We are often foolish. As we allow the input from this world to change our perception or conception of who Jesus Christ is, what he came to do, and where he's at. We allow input from this world, which by the way, has no eternal relevance. This world has no truth. If it's not of God, the Bible said it clearly, let God be true and every man a liar. We allow the things of this world to change and distort in our minds who Jesus is, what he came to do, why he was here to begin with. All of these things are important. Jesus loved them enough to care, and he came to them, and he wanted to solve this issue, and I'll tell you how he did it quickly. The Bible said he spoke to them there, and he said, oh, you fools and slow of heart to believe. You see, the problem ultimately comes into our belief. Right, there's so many promises in the Word of God. I dare say that any of us, if we truly grasped them, would be hard pressed to frown. Right, even on your worst day, right, you'd be whistling with the birds, because I've got promises that cannot fail. I've got something that's going to take me through. Amen. Even if I had nothing. I've got a promise that I get to go to heaven one day where there'll be no more sin, there'll be no more heartache, no more pain, no more suffering, no tears. I get to go to heaven. Amen. Oh, foolish and slow of heart to believe. Jesus looked him right in the eye and he said, ought not Christ to have suffered? Are you suggesting that Christ should have not suffered? Is that what you're saying? Are you saying that somehow because he was, right? They didn't even understand he was the Son of God, right? They ain't put that together yet. He was a prophet, mighty in deed and word. But he was the Son of God. He was the powerful, all-powerful Son of God. And Jesus looked at him and he said, ought not Christ to have suffered? Should not Christ, he could have said, should not I have fulfilled all these things that I might enter into my glory that the Father promised me on the other side of the cross? Oh, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said. And the Bible said that in that instant, Jesus began to take it into his own hand, right? He allowed them to state clearly what their issues were. And they did. And we have that, right? I wept as I thought how wonderful it is to have that. That they were that we have that in writing, that we know that they had problems. Let me give you a newsflash. I have problems. And I struggle at times to believe as I ought to believe. And I could take the same words of Christ and apply it to me right now. Oh, he said, fool. He wasn't condemning them. No, he was pitying them. He was compassionate. He said, oh, you're being foolish. You're being foolish. Listen to me. He said, should not I have suffered? Should not I have entered into my glory? The Bible said from that very moment, he opened up the scriptures to them, beginning at Moses and going all through the prophets as they were walking. They were there. They were hearing his words. And I got to say this. I hope they wrote that down. Don't you want to hear that one? That's a message. It's in here. Right, you just have to pile it all together. It's in here, and we probably all heard it 1,000 times. But Jesus began at Moses, and he preached to them the words of Moses, and the words of Jeremiah, and the words of Isaiah, and the words of Ezekiel, and the words of all the prophets. He preached to them all of those prophecies that said they were coming. And here's these two old boys just glued to every word, listening to everything he had said. Let me give you some encouragement today. You're here. Are you listening? Are you listening? Is it bad out there? Yeah. But is God good? Amen. Yeah. And should we leave this place encouraged? Should we leave this place changed by the word of God? Yes. Yes, indeed, we should. Jesus preached to them the truth. And the Bible said in verse number 28, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. Now, I don't know exactly what Jesus was up to here, but he checked them. I'm just going to say it. You're going to get checked this evening. You say, what about now? You're here now. But you're going to get checked this afternoon. Where will you be? Jesus said, I believe I'll just go on. Right? They just heard the most marvelous stuff they'd ever heard in all their life. They would later say, our heart burned within us while he spoke. Jesus acted like he was just going to keep on walking. And they said, hey, wait, don't leave. Don't leave. No, come in. It's late. Surely you could stay with us. Come in and eat. You shouldn't be traveling. Let me tell you something. For the child of God, you know where their heart is. It's that Jesus stay near. Huh? There ought to be an absolute hunger and thirst for Christ in us all the time. That whenever we're in the presence of God, we just say to ourselves, don't leave. Stay with us. Stay some longer, would you? Let me make something. And here they were. Oh, they constrained him. They said, oh, don't leave. Don't leave. Stay with us. They didn't even know who he was yet. But all they knew, the words that had burned in their heart, the words that had challenged them to the core, the word that had addressed every part of confusion and disillusionment they had, he had addressed it. And they couldn't get enough of it. They said, no, stay. Please stay. How many of you need more of Jesus? Right now, you can say all day that you need more of Jesus, but the proof comes when you have an opportunity to get more of Jesus and you don't. Right? How many of us want more of Jesus? Come on. I see you nodding your head. Yeah, I want more of Jesus. But you know, if you really sign up and say, no, look at me back, I want more of Jesus, you know that I just took note of that. And that if every opportunity that comes for you to get more of Jesus, you're not there, I know you what? No, I didn't say it. You said it. And that's the best place to be in, where I can say honestly, I lied. I didn't really want more of Jesus. Because let me tell you something. If you want more Jesus, guess what you're going to get? You can take that one to the store or something. That ain't going to help you. He said, draw nigh to God and he'd do what? Do you really want more of Jesus? You best batten down the hatches. You go to hunting more of Jesus, you're going to get more. He'll give you all you can stand. Don't go, they said. Stay with us. You know what Jesus said? All right. Ain't that good? Ain't that good? If he'd do it for Clippus, he'll do it for Randy. He'd do it for old Paul. Jesus, stay a little bit with me. You know what he'll do, Paul? He'll stay a little bit with you. Ain't that good? That's encouragement, Victor. That Jesus, when we desire him, he's there. The Bible said, Jesus stayed. They compelled him. They said, oh, stay with us. And so they went in the house and they began trying to make some stuff to eat. And apparently they made some bread or had some bread. Set it down at the table. Before they ever ate, Jesus took that bread. He began to break it. And then he prayed. They had seen that before. You remember? They had seen him on the hill that day when 5,000 men plus women and children, they watched him. They might have heard or even seen what happened in the upper room just a few days before when, again, he broke the bread and blessed it. There was something about what he did that opened their eyes. What's he need to do for you? What is it? Right? What is it truly that will compel you to come out of the darkness and into the light of true understanding that Christ is alive? Suddenly, instantly, miraculously, the eyes which couldn't see him seconds before now recognized him as Lord. And then what happened? It says he vanished. What? You mean Jesus can vanish? Yeah. He vanished. Gone. Well, how rude. He didn't finish eating. Jesus didn't come to eat. You get that, right? He didn't stay because he was hungry. Why did he stay? Because they compelled him to. They wanted him, and he stayed. He vanished because his mission was done. What was done? They were no longer confused. They were no longer bewildered. They were no longer disillusioned, and they were no longer sad. Did you pick up on that part? Just as soon as he vanished, one of them looked at the other and said, that was the Lord. Did not our heart burn within us as he spoke? As he revealed the Holy Scriptures to us, didn't our heart burn within us? It was Jesus. And you know what they both concluded at that instant? He is alive. Were they confused? Not anymore. Why? Because they had been with Jesus. And he had revealed unto them that simple truth. All right, I'm closing. Don't go to sleep. He had revealed to them the truth. And he was done. He was gone. Why? Because now they had a job to do. And what was that job? Right? They wasn't an angel had to roll in and say, all right, I got you a list. Here's what Jesus needs you to do next. As soon as they weren't confused anymore, they knew what had to be done next. The Bible said they lit out of the door. And I can see them running, not moping, walking. No, they went out the door, headed back to Jerusalem, running just, and everybody that raised their He's risen indeed. We kept on trucking. What, by the way, is your calling in life? What is it that he asked them to do in that very next chapter? He said, go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every living creature, telling them all things that I've done. Here's what they did. They left out of there that day and they ran back to Jerusalem, I believe telling everybody that Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. They get to the room where the 11 and the others are and they bust through the door and they're squalling, Jesus is alive. He's risen indeed, just like he said. And you know what the disciples thought? It's catching. First Mary, now Peter and John. They're all crazy, distraught from emotion. What the Bible says, they didn't believe them either. Because I tell you to come and get a song, if you will. Because it always comes back to this single thing when it comes to having an experience with Jesus Christ, is it has to be with Jesus, not someone else. If your salvation today is dependent on someone else, then you've not met him yet. If your blessing when you come to church is dependent on so-and-so getting happy, you don't know him. These two old boys had met him and they were convinced he was alive and therefore they took the message and they didn't care who believed it. They were so excited that he was alive. Are you? It's a message. Are you? You excited that Jesus is alive? You know he's alive, right? Nod yes. We know he's alive. Don't that make you excited? Does it not make us want to run and tell somebody else he's alive? And they'll look at you like, there's another one of them. Right? But they didn't care. Why? Because they'd met him. They'd been in his presence. It burned within them. They had to tell it. That's the Great Commission, is to go and tell the good news of Jesus Christ that he's alive. Well, Jesus was fixing to take care of it for them too. Right? You read on in the next verses to follow. What you'll find is as they're looking at Cleopas and the other, you know, just saying, no. Jesus suddenly appears in the room. The same as he vanished, he just appeared in the room. And they all saw him. Even when they saw him, Mark said they didn't believe him. They didn't believe it. Right? Can you see Jesus there? Sit down. He said, somebody give me something to eat. I'm not a ghost. Somebody get. And they gave him broiled fish and honeycomb, right? And he sat there and ate it. And he said, now, that better? Yeah, right. Can a ghost eat fish and honeycomb, right? Does that satisfy? Goes right back, doesn't it? Oh, fools. Slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said. But you know why Jesus did that? Because he cared they were confused. He cared they didn't understand. And he also knew that until he looked in their eyes each, that they wouldn't catch it. They wouldn't get it. They would stay confused. And I get it, you're confused today. I get it, you don't understand what the preacher's been on about for the last hour. I get it. There's a point going to come when he's going to look you in the eye. That's your heart. You're going to know that he's alive. And at that point, you have to respond. You have to have him yourself. That's where we're at right now. If he spoke to your heart, for the first time in your life, you're acknowledging to yourself that these people ain't crazy. He's alive. He's real. And I need him. And I'm going to ask you to come and ask him to be your Savior. Trust him as your Lord today. And you'll leave here changed. You must be changed. Would you stand with us as we sing?